If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, and we'll be in chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. We started chapter number 5 last week, and we got the first 6 verses, so we're going to be picking up in verse number 7. And when we come to verse 7, there's a therefore there, so that'll tie us back to what we looked at before. He says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, who's the them he's speaking of there in verse number 7? He's speaking of the sons of disobedience, those last few words right there in verse number 6. So what he's saying there, and he really began with another therefore back in verse number 1, where he says, therefore be imitators of God. And remember I said, man, what a calling that is. Paul makes some very very profound claims and gives us some very profound callings in this book of Ephesians. And to me, you know, that's pretty high calling right there, to be an imitator of God. How do you imitate God? Well, you can only imitate God by having the Holy Spirit, by having God in you, Christ in you, your hope of glory. So he says, therefore be imitators of God, since you are imitators of God, and we're not to be partakers with those who are sons of disobedience, who follow after empty words, then we're to walk in the light, and that's where he's going to head with his neck. Now, remember, in verse number 6, he said, let no one deceive you with empty words. That's the sons of disobedience that I think he's speaking of here in this text are actually people who call themselves Christians, but they're really following along with the rest of the world. They're really sons of disobedience. And we talked about these empty words last week. What were the empty words? What did Paul mean when he says, don't let no one deceive you with empty words? Well, let me see if I can give you an illustration last night. I mean, it'll give you an illustration from my meal last night. My wife made spring rolls. Very good. I mean, they're very good. I don't know if you've ever had spring rolls before, but they're full of cabbage and carrots and what else is in them, Brenda? Avocado. I mean, they are really good. And they taste really good going into the mouth and going down into the stomach. I mean, they are very tasty. But after you've eaten, your stomach's still empty. And so they're like empty words. I mean, empty words are like that. They taste really good going down. I mean, they're real pleasing they tickle the ear. They tickle the soul. But they don't really fill you up. For you to be filled up, you need the gospel, that's for sure. You need to know about grace. And as I said last week, hey, I teach grace. I believe in grace. But grace without sanctification amounts to empty words. I mean, God gives us the grace to save us, but he also gives us the grace to sanctify us. And a lot of people leave it right there. We get saved by grace. We're totally forgiven. All our sins are forgiven. We're not under law. And we, you know, and then you just kind of leave it there. You can't leave it there. Because if you go back to verse number 5, look what Paul, he gives this warning here in verse number 5. He says, for you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. In other words, you're not going to make it to heaven if you're still in this condition when Christ calls you home. I mean, because what happens when we're born again? God begins to sanctify us. And those of us that were fornicators are no longer fornicators any longer. Those of us that used to be adulterers are no longer adulterers any longer. Those of us that used to be covetous, well, maybe we're still covetous. But we're not as covetous as we used to be, right? If there's not some, what Paul's saying there, he's not saying that, I mean, he's saying this is what you used to be. And this is not who you are anymore, because Christ not only has saved you, he has made you holy in Jesus, in the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's sanctifying you throughout your life. Hang in there, man. And if there's no sanctification, no sanctification whatsoever taking place, then that he's giving us a warning there. And I hear so much in Christendom right now about people, you know, about grabbing the grace, grabbing the ticket to heaven, and leaving it right there and forgetting about the sanctification. Now, are we going to be fully sanctified? We're sanctified positionally, but we can't expect to be fully sanctified because we still have our flesh. We can't expect to be fully sanctified until we're glorified. But there's got to be a change. If there hasn't been a change, then we're still right there with the sons of disobedience. I don't care what we call ourselves. There's got to be a change. And then he's going to tell us how this change takes place. That's where he picks up next. He says, because here's where we were living before we were saved. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light. Man, that's a big change, isn't it? He doesn't just say, he doesn't just say you were once in darkness, but now you are in light. He says you were once darkness. You yourself, you had a dark soul. Me too. I'm right there with you. We had very dark souls. There's still darkness in our souls, isn't there? There's a lot of darkness in our souls. But now we're light not in our own effort. We're light in the Lord. And so we're to walk as children of the light. Now, sanctification isn't something that we do. It's not a work that we perform. And I don't want you to think that for 1 minute. But it is a choice. Sanctification is a choice. It's a choice that we're making all the time. We can either walk as children of the light, or we can walk as sons of disobedience in the darkness. I mean, that's our choice. That's a choice we make when we get up in the morning. That's a choice we make in every move we make. We're either going to walk in the light of the Lord, or we're going to walk in darkness. Now, what's the fastest way to get sanctified? To walk in darkness or to walk in light? To walk in light. And so, we were once darkness ourselves. That's who we were. We're not that anymore. Paul's saying, you're no longer a child of darkness. You're a child of light. The Lord, the light of the Lord is in you. The light of His Holy Spirit is in you. And so we have a choice every day to be different from the sons of disobedience, from those who walk in darkness. We're to walk in the light, Jesus says, as He is in the light. We walk in the light of His Spirit and the light of His Word. I mean, the Word is what? It's a lamp unto my feet, the psalmist said. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's the light that goes before me. And I walk in that light. And that's why you can't get sanctified. We're sanctified by the water of the Word, the washing of the Word. And we're sanctified by the Word because the Word is the light, and we have the light of the Holy Spirit in us, and we walk in that light. And if we're continually walking in darkness, and again, I don't know of anybody in here that's walking in darkness, but there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who are still walking in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, you haven't received the grace of God. You're still darkness. If you're still going to the darkness, then you're not under grace. You're under law, and the law condemns. And so you have to walk in the light. And if you're born again, you're going to hate the darkness. I mean, what born-again child of God loves the dark things of this world that are going on right now? We're living in a world of darkness. We're living in a world of darkness. But you're a child of light, so we hate the darkness and we love the light. Now, roaches and rats and snakes and spiders love the darkness. You cut on the light, and what are they going to do? They're going to scurry away. They're going to find cover. They're going to find some more darkness. And that kind of, I don't want to say everybody in this world is not saved as a snake or a spider or a roach, but it's getting pretty evil out there, isn't it? And here's the problem. Well, Jesus said, here's the problem, men love darkness. They don't love light, and so they gravitate to the darkness. And they won't come to the light. Evil people love darkness and they hate the light. And so, guess what? They hate Jesus Christ because He is light. And if you're light, how are they going to feel about you? They're going to hate you too. And but we're changed by the light. We're changed by coming to the light. Go with me over to back a few books to 2 Corinthians. One of those refrigerator magnet verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 18. I think it's the quintessential verse on sanctification. It's a verse that you've got to believe, because we're sanctified. Just as we're saved by faith, we're sanctified by faith, and that faith is a gift of God. So if you're a child of light, you're going to have that faith. But you have to believe that verse number 18 says, "But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory, the light of the Lord, that Shekinah glory of the Lord, the light of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So when we come to the light, when we're gazing on the Lord in prayer, when we're gazing on the Lord in meditation, when we're walking in the light in whatever vocation God has placed us in, when we're in the Word gazing on the light, we're being changed from glory to glory. And so if we're gazing at darkness, if that's where our focus is, how much change is going to take place? None. None when you're gazing at darkness. You have to gaze at the light. I mean, there's a picture that you go back into this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and the picture that's being painted or being used there is Moses up on the mountain when he received the law. And he was there in the presence and gazing on the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came down and he had to wear a veil because he was glowing, because he had gazed at the Lord, and by gazing at the Lord, he was transformed or transfigured, just like he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, him and Elijah. And so as we gaze upon the Lord, as we focus upon the Lord, we too are changed from glory to glory. All right, now, and if we're changed, what happens then? If you're being sanctified, if you're walking in the light, because you are light, you're the light of the Lord, you're not darkness anymore. If you're walking in the light, then you're going to bear fruit, aren't you? That's how we bear fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, then we're not walking in the light. And so if we're walking in the light, that would be the next thing we would expect Paul to say. And so we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and he says in verse number 9, he says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." So if you're walking in the light of the Word, then you're going to be filled with the truth of God. If you're being changed into the image of Christ, then you're going to be filled with all goodness and righteousness. All goodness and all righteousness. Not empty words, but truth. Not a watered-down gospel, but the whole gospel. And if you're doing that, you know, you can go to the library or the Christian bookstore and you can find 50 books on finding the will of God. Well, guess what? If you're walking in the light, you've already found the will of God. Here, look what he says in the next verse. He says, "The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And then he says, "Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." If we're walking in the light, then we won't be searching for what's acceptable to the Lord. We've already found it. We know the will of God. And what's the will of God? That we bear fruit, that we bear the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's what's acceptable to the Lord, the truth of Jesus Christ. It's in the Lord, finding what is acceptable in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that by walking in the light. And then verse number 11, he says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Now that means that tomorrow what you need to do is go out to your workplace, and wherever you see sin, you point that finger, and you, just like the prophet Nathan, you say, "You're the man, and you've sinned, and this is what you've done, and this is what you need to do to correct it." No, that's not how you expose the darkness. I mean, A flashlight. How much does a flashlight have to say to expose the darkness? It doesn't have to say a word. All you have to do is what? Cut the switch on. So a lamp, you cut a lamp on and it exposes the darkness. The lamp doesn't have to say anything. And so we don't have to say anything. Now, I think there is a time and place. I mean, I look at what's going on in our country today. There's times where we need to call out sin and we need to stand for righteousness. That's true. But on an individual basis, it's not our job to judge others. It's our job to shine. We're darkness. And if we're not shining, if we're not different, I'll tell you why it is. It's because we're still walking in darkness and we're not walking in the light. Because if we're walking in the light, then we're being changed from glory to glory. And something supernatural is taking place there. And there's a Shekinah that's emanating from us. And people know that we're different. You don't have to say a word. They see that with their spiritual eyes. There's something emanating from you. Truth and righteousness and goodness that they don't see in other people. And so that emanates, and it's not, you know, it's not just in your actions. There really is a sense that you're being changed from glory to glory. You don't see it right now. If God would open our spiritual eyes right now, we could tell really right now who's shining and who's not. Hopefully we would all just be all glowing. But your friends know, your coworkers know, and if you've got to tell them, then you're probably not really shining. If your method of exposing their darkness is to just nag at them, then probably you're not shining, because you don't have to say much if you're really shining. They see that something's different in you. They know that something's different in you. All right, and then we go on to verse number 12. He says, therefore, it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by the sons of disobedience, by the people who are living in darkness, the things that they do in secret. Them is the sons of disobedience. He says, the things which are done by them, the sons and daughters of disobedience. You know what's really scary to me? That the things that used to be done in secret are now being done right out in the open. And what everybody knows in their heart is evil is now being called good. I mean, when your children can't watch a television show because you don't know what's going to be on the commercial, the things that you would have never seen 20 years ago that are now just you know, right out there in the open. I mean, homosexuality is right in your face. Lewdness is in your face. Crudeness is in your face. And it's really hard. You have to retreat from the darkness. Yeah, you know, it's hard to find a good movie anymore. It's hard to find a good television show. That these things that wouldn't even be spoken of 20 years ago are now just in your face in our society. But we're not to have any fellowship with those things. We're to expose those things. We got to be real. I know, you know, I'm not calling everybody to go hide in their closet, but it's getting really tough out there to participate in the activities of this world because things have gotten so evil. So Paul says, then the next verse number 13, but all things that are exposed by the light. And everything, I mean, the light shines in the darkness. You can bring light into a dark room, and I don't care how dark that room is, and I don't care how small the light is, it's going to expose the darkness. It's going to expose what's there. And so I think that's tells you the shape of the church right now is that we're not that shining city on a hill. This country's certainly not that. But as a church, we're not the light with a basket removed. And things aren't, we aren't revealing, manifesting that which is shameful. But all things are exposed or are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. I mean, and what's that light? The light is the Word. The light is us. We're the light. The light in us, the light of Christ. We make manifest all things. And that's why the persecution has begun in this country, even in the United States. Because when you begin to expose darkness, people don't want the light. And they're going to do everything they can to remove the light, to snuff out the light. I mean, the roach doesn't want to see the light. The rat doesn't want to see the light. The sons of disobedience and the daughters of disobedience don't want to see the light. And just your presence around them. That, you know, it used to be, you know, don't get in my face and talk Christianity. But we don't even want you in our society anymore. And it's going to get tougher and tougher because of that. I mean, Jesus said it like this. I mentioned it a while ago. He says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, yet men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And the light exposes their deeds. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. How many people in this country are practicing evil right now? The vast majority. And so they hate the light. And we have a right to hate them back? No. Our job is to shine and to love them. It's tough. Getting tougher and tougher. And there's a personal admonition here too. I mean, if you're getting tired of the darkness of this world, what do you got to do? You got to run to the light. Jesus says in John 3:21, right after that, he says, come to the light. I mean, he says, come to the light. Then if you're tired of the darkness, then come to the light. I mean, if you want truth, if you want light, then you come to Jesus Christ. And he'll give you light. And that light is life. And that life is what sanctifies us. And if we're not being sanctified, we go all the way back to this, then we're living in darkness. And we're sons and daughters of disobedience. And we should be different. We should be vastly different from the rest of the people of this world. And that light hopefully will attract some of those people. And so Paul gives us this. He gives this exhortation here in verse number 14 for those of us that kind of play with the darkness. And there's a lot of us that do. We kind of ride the fence. We walk in light and we walk in darkness. And he says to us, hey, you know, you'll never win the world like that. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. I mean, because the light is life. And sin is death. And darkness is sin, and darkness is death. That's what death is. It's utter darkness. That's what hell is, utter darkness. And so he says, hey, that's not the place for us as believers. Awake, you who sleep. You people, all of us who call ourselves Christians, we need to arise from the dead. Now, how many of us can raise people from the dead? None of us. But we can come to the light, and the life will raise us from the dead. The death of darkness. It's time for the church to wake up. Man, I don't know what it's going to take to get us to wake up. To put the darkness away and come to the light and find the power of Jesus Christ. I don't know what it's going to take, because I don't think things can get much worse than they are out there right now. And if you do that, Christ will. There's a promise right there. You'll put aside the darkness, wake up and arise from the dead, then Christ will give you light. And light is life. And life is sanctification. Then he says in verse number 15, he says, see that you walk. In other words, hey, you want to walk in the light. You want to have the light of the Word guiding your path. And so he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? Let me see if I can give you an illustration, maybe one I've used before. I was camping in Nevada with a friend of mine one time, and we had eaten a nice meal. I don't know if you'd call it a nice meal, but it was a filling meal. And I was getting a little tired, and so I said, you know, I'm going to walk out in the desert and climb this ridge and just see, just the stars out there were just gorgeous. Just go out there and look at the stars and meditate on the Lord. And I was about halfway up that ridge, and I got the light shining in front of me, and there's a rattlesnake. And I was some of the fastest running I ever did in my life, but I got back to the camp really quick. But I can tell you the rest of the time I was, well, since then, when I camp, I walk circumspectly. That means I put the light out in front of me, and I put one foot forward, and I look where I'm going. I'm going to put my hand somewhere. I put the light there. And when I put my left foot out, my right foot out, I go with the light in front of me because I don't want to step on anything dangerous. And that's the way we're to walk. We're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk in the light of the Word, the light of the Holy Spirit. In the light of the life that God has given us, we're to walk circumspectly, very carefully, putting one foot out before the other. Every step we take in this evil world that we're living in right now, this very evil world, we need to take it very carefully because the devil has all sorts of traps out there that he has set for us. And there's all sorts of snakes in this world, and there's all sorts of roaches and cockroaches in this world that want to destroy our light, our witness to this world. And so we have to walk circumspectly, very carefully, so we don't fall into something dangerous. Not as a fool, not as a son of disobedience, but as a wise person. I mean, it's wise to walk in the light. It's foolish to walk in darkness. If you start walking in the darkness and you're a born-again believer, you're going to fall into a deep trap. I can tell you that right now. There was a major pastor in the Calvary Chapel denomination that just had a major fall, and it started out walking in darkness, walking in pornography. That led to something else and something else and something else, and he fell. And it begins with that step you take. Every step we take, we need to walk in the light of this Word. And if we don't do that, then hey, we can fall in that pit too. Beware if you think you stand, lest you fall. He says, not as fool, but as wise. And then he says, redeeming the time. He means buying up the time. You're to go buy up your time. You're to look at the time you have, and you're to buy it up, and you're to use it for this, to squander it on the things of this world, right? No. We're to redeem the time, to buy the time that we have, to use it for the sake of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean, again, I don't want to ever put a guilt trip on you and think, well, you need to be a pastor. You need to give up what you're doing to go to the mission field. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Wherever God has placed you, you have time. You have time to study His Word. You have time to pray. You have time to get close to the Lord. You have time to walk in light. And you have time to be the light. Wherever He's placed you, you can be the light. You can redeem the opportunities that God gives you. And He'll give you those opportunities. You don't have to legalistic say, well, I've got to get five people saved this week, or I've got to witness to everybody on my job. That's not what I'm saying at all. You redeem the time that God gives you at that job. And you redeem it for Him, and you walk circumspectly, one step at a time in the light, and people will see that. And he says, redeem the time because, boy, the days are evil. You know, I can remember reading that passage 25 years ago and thinking, yeah, they're pretty bad over in Europe. They got some crazy things going on over there. They're talking about homosexuals getting married. You know, they're talking about, you know, they're talking about making there's countries that they're making drugs legal. This was going on 20 years ago in Europe, and I was thinking, man, it's getting really evil over there. Well, guess what? It's all hit our shores now, too. And we got three or four states with legalized marijuana and several on board to join that club this election. So we're living in evil days. I mean, evil, you think evil. Look at ISIS. Is that not evil? Right in Oklahoma, a guy going into a factory and cutting somebody's head off, evil? You think it's not evil the news didn't even report it? You think it's not evil that when they did report it, they said it was workplace violence? You think it's not evil what Russia is doing to these little countries, bullying these little countries? You think that's not evil? You think that's not evil when Russia sends nuclear bombers right down on our borders? You think we're not living in evil times? You think it's not evil when the Supreme Court says this week that they're not gonna look at these homosexual marriage cases where states have voted to keep marriage between a man and a woman? They're not even gonna look at it, in essence saying a liberal judge can dictate what goes on in that state. You think times aren't evil? Look, they're about as dark as they can get. And you know, what do you say? I mean, it's time to redeem our time. It's time for us to awake. It's time for us to rise from the dead. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? That you be His light in this world. I mean, He'll place your light wherever He wants to place it. I mean, the will of the Lord in that you need to be a pastor, you need to be a missionary, you need to be take a new job, that's part of the will of God. But the will of God that Paul's speaking of right here is that you be the light. In the context, he's talking about you be the light, awake. I mean, understand what the will of the Lord is, that we awake from our sleep, we arise from the dead, and Christ will give us light. We come to the light. Don't be unwise like the sons of disobedience. Don't walk in the darkness. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And do not be drunk on wine, which is dissipation. Actually, if you look at that in the Greek, what it says is don't be drunk on wine to excess. Don't drink wine to excess. Don't drink wine to excess. There's a better way to get high. There's a better way to get high. And I'm not talking about barking and holy laughter, any of these things that are going around. But being filled with the Spirit is a great feeling, much better than being filled with wine. I mean, he says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You got an option there. I mean, times are evil. Times are evil. It makes you want to get drunk. You watch Fox News for 2 hours, man, and you'll be in the liquor cabinet or at the bar. But Paul said there's an option. Don't go that route. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in the light. Come to the light. Be transformed by the light. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I guess you know, I don't think the word dissipation is there in the Greek, but it is true. You get high on liquor or wine and marijuana or whatever, it's going to fade away. The Holy Spirit, actually, you can quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit, and I believe you can lose that sense of His presence too. But the Spirit is always there with us. The light is always. We are light. And then he finishes up in the last few verses there. He says in verse 19 through 21. 21 really goes with the next passage we'll look at next week. But 19 and 20, let's read that. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what? You've arrived if you can do that in these dark days. In the dark times that you have personally, you've arrived. You know, I know things are tough. The week is tough. It's tough on me. It's tough on you. You come into church Sunday and we feel like we got to kickstart everybody to get them going. But you know, if you're really walking in the light, if you're really filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've really studied the Word, if you've studied Ephesians, and you realize that you were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, if you realize that you were seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ, no matter how evil this world is, if you realize that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, if you realize that you can be filled with all the fullness of God, if you realize all those things, I don't care how dark it gets in this world, you can make a melody in your heart to the Lord. And again, I know things are tough, but boy, I would love one Sunday to come in here and just everybody not be entertained, not be forced to do it, but just be so happy in the Lord that we just sing psalms and hymns to Him. Thanksgiving. I mean, that's the key. That's really the key. And I think more than anything else, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and strength and the joy comes from thanksgiving. And so the devil wants to make you ungrateful. That's what he did with the Israelites, and that's why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, because of their ingratitude. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I mean, they were examples to us because they murmured and complained against the Lord, and so they wandered for 40 years. I mean, God doesn't want us complaining. He wants us singing a melody in our hearts, a song of thanksgiving. And he finishes up, for all things. You know what's really cool about being a born-again believer? We can be grateful for all things, because all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. All things in the Greek means what? All things. So no matter what this evil world throws at us, we can be grateful, because we know that it's come through the filtered love of the Lord. Now, am I saying that all things will be easy? That in all things we'll prosper? Well, really, I think we do prosper in all things, just in a different way. Maybe not prosper in money and homes and cars, but we prosper spiritually. Because we know that in all things, that all things that come our way have been given to us by God the Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we know Jesus Christ, no thanksgiving, no joy, no melody in your heart. We'll be singing like the rest of the world. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for us. He's given His blood to cover us from all unrighteousness. And He's given us His very own soul, His very own spirit to live in us. And so no matter what comes my way, I can sing. I can have a melody in my heart because I'm grateful to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You for all You do for us. Lord, we live in a very dark, dark world and very dark, dark times. Father, I just thank You for the light. I thank You for the light of Jesus Christ in our soul. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You that You've made us light. And Lord, there's such a great challenge here for us to awake and not ride the fence and not walk in the darkness like the rest of this world does, Lord, but to walk in Your light. Lord, if we walk in Your light, Your word promises that we'll have fellowship with You. Lord, we'll grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We'll be changed from glory to glory. Lord, and when we see You, we'll be like You. We thank You for all these great promises, and we know they're true because they come from our Savior, who is truth. We thank You in Christ's name. Amen.